It's Sunday, August the 24th. Oh my, summer's moving on, or if you're down under, winter's moving on. I've always wondered how my friends in Australia or New Zealand think about the idea of down under. I guess to them, we're down under. It's good to pause and think about your friend's perspective on you, just as we might be expressing one on them. No derogation intended. We love you, and we love the fact that you're here and that people are here from all over the world. And we're coming in on many types of weather and many types of human weather, many types of human condition. Old, young, newlyweds, people saying goodbye, people starting new businesses, people retiring. Every phase of life is represented here. And so we try to address the universal commonalities in our discussion. I bring in my ideas of something that would be a helpful and valid message from Yeshua to you. But as we begin our conference, it's always good to have input from our community. It makes us stronger in our connection with one another. So anyone who would like to come into the call, please press star 6, pause for a moment, and then press 1. So we have an eager beaver here. Hi, Jean Marie?
Yeah, hi, Glenda. Just a real quick question.
Sure.
Is your book, Love Without End, available in large print?
No, I'm afraid it isn't.
Oh, okay. That's
all I need. What you can do. No, I'll tell you what you can do. You can get an e-reader, an e-book reader. Get it's in e-book, and on the readers you can enlarge as much as you want. You can get it up, to where it's practically one word per page.
Sounds great. Thanks a million, Glenda.
Be the way to go.
Okay, thank you kindly.
Desmond, hi, I see you're on.
Hey, Glenda, I had the most amazing time listening to Michael Beckwith, and I'm so glad to be on your call today. I love learning from you and what you share with us of Yeshua's message, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and we're looking forward to having you at the Blessing Seminar. That's going to be great. And your brother's coming with you?
Yeah, and Holly's going to be there, and Chris, and there's going to be a whole bunch of new blessing givers, and there's going to be like a big group again. It's going to be really, it's going to be like the first one, but different, you know? It's going to be great.
Yeah. They're all amazingly different. That's what everybody always says. Well, I came back thinking I was just going to be with my friends and I'd hear the same old stuff again, and they were blown away by new information or possibly by hearing something they didn't hear before. Because, you know, never in life do we hear something until we're ready.
I think one of the greatest aspects is, like, just being in a congregation that that's Christ's blessing, like, as a group. It feels, like, it feels so cool. I was talking with Paul yesterday about lifting the burden and how, you know, Michael was talking about it, like, how the collective, I mean, we're just so powerful as a group. And
yes.
Yeah. And, of course, your information's going to be, it's going to be, like, a lot of new stuff, I'm sure.
Yes, you will be very pleased with what I'm bringing new this time. The experience grows and the information grows. The fact is, Yeshua doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. This goes all the way back to the tradition of how he called his apostles. Look at who they were. They were fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors, ordinary people doing very ordinary things, probably no formal education whatsoever, probably no experience dealing with collective groups other than their fellow fishermen or the fellow members of their profession or family, and people, men and women as well, leading very private lives. And yet, bit by bit, he educated them. He took them step by step into a higher realization. Until, obviously, in the course of 3 years, he had so elevated them that Peter asked one day, Lord, why is it that you tell us all these wonderful things, but you speak to the masses in parables? And he said, to them it is not yet given to understand these things, I tell you. Well, the thing is, once they were at the level of the people to whom he spoke the parables, but after working with them for 1, 2, 3 years, as long as it took between the time he called them and the time he set them free into their ministry, they had become incredibly enlightened men and women. And it's no less true today. He calls us wherever we might be, in whatever level of understanding we might have. Don't ever feel that you're not good enough for him. This goes for everybody on this earth. Don't ever feel that you don't know enough, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not innovative enough, you're not social enough. Don't ever put your own personal self-inadequacy between yourself and him, because he will remove that. He will accept you as you are, making no judgments whatsoever. You're okay with him. That's one thing I have observed universally with all people everywhere, in all the places I took the painting, in all the places I've taken the message, is you're okay with him. Wherever you are, in whatever condition you are, in whatever condition of understanding you're in. But I can also say one thing, and that is if you stay with him, you won't stay in that. You won't remain in that place. You will grow. Everybody I have ever seen stay with him becomes a man or woman of grace, of wisdom, of ingenuity, of intuition, of compassion, and a significantly elevated IQ. I have noticed this in every single person who has really come to him. Now, I don't include in that people who come to a church in the sense that they are just connecting with the church to be part of a community, to be indoctrinated in a theology. They may or may not get better. They may or may not grow. As a matter of fact, they may have walked into a very tight, restrictive envelope. But the minute you know him, and that is anybody, whether it's inside a church or not in a church, whether you were a believer before, none of the apostles were believers before. It doesn't matter whether you were a pre-believer or you get to know him and then you're a believer. As a matter of fact, he revealed the act of transfiguration to the three apostles he most thought were ready to receive it. And they got it. But prior to his revelation, they were just, well, shall we say, respectful followers. I'm not sure how much they got until he gave it. So, Desmond, you might want to speak to this, because I know that you have come a long way in your study and your personal transformations with Yeshua.
We were speaking the other day, and sometimes I personally don't feel like I can handle the pain of life. But I was remembering with the others that when you're in Yeshua's presence, and same with being at the blessing seminar, it's like the Holy Spirit or Yeshua himself touched your life, and there was like no trenches of life. It was just totally clear and beautiful. So, you know, sometimes I get myself into predicaments, and just being able to go to a place that's safe and rebuild my my positive affirmation of life, it's something that's going to be very, very transformative. Yeah.
And the important thing is you've got a basis of personal confidence now that you can refer back to. You can step back into. You know, we all lose it every now and then. We all get in predicaments. But when we've got a standard of personal performance and personal inner achievement, we've always got a standard to refer back to return to. What would you say to anyone who's thinking about becoming a blessing giver, but they're not quite sure yet?
I would say that there's a lot of really good aspects to it. One part that I really enjoy is that there's a blessing group call. So there's the friends that I've made with the blessing call. You know, we usually get on a call every day and do the blessing, but we can just call each other and have a little chat and engage in the blessing, and it's been very incremental in my growth, like you were saying about the IQ raising, and just my understanding of spirit and loving other people. It's been really my favorite aspect of the Christ book.
Well, thanks, Desmond. And actually what Desmond was referring to is something that we don't, pardon me, we don't always, I don't always think to put in my message about becoming a blessing giver, and that is, it's not a one-time seminar. We stay connected. Not only do we have a special group site, which is our private version of an online community, sort of like Facebook, but it's not accessible to the public. Not only that, but we have calls, weekly calls, and people stay in touch with each other. We are a very, very close, supportive community. And so it is really the best club you could ever join, really, because people are there for you in prayer, in blessing. You have an opportunity to work with other people to create the kind of life you want to see around you. And I have the greatest gratitude and respect for our blessing givers. We have a caller from area code 530, and you're on. Hi. Hello, are you there?
Hi, was that 530?
Yes.
The phone cut out a little bit. Hi, Glenn, this is Winterhawk in Mount Shasta.
I'm sorry, I accidentally clicked you off. Go ahead. We can hear you, Winterhawk.
Mount Shasta, thank you for everything so much. I wondered if you might just briefly address a thought about animals. You know, I've worked with animal communication for a long time, and a lot of what I do is divinity work with them and helping people through the divine voice of the animals, etc. And I ask my cat, who is one of my co-writers, she's a magnificent expressor of divine thought. I said, do you relate to Jesus? Do you know of Jesus? And she said, we call him our brother who is tallest in love.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and so I work a lot with therapy animals and other animal friends, you know, to give people divine information, you know, from that that source, because I feel like it's pretty pure. And I wonder also, you know, if people are inviting their animal friends to listen into these calls and into the various global meditations and things, because if not, I think we're missing the power of a magnificent group of beings is working very hard on all these things.
Oh, absolutely. I totally, totally agree with you. And I can give you my input on my experience. First of all, I have three cats. And one of them, named Rama, wouldn't miss the blessing. In fact, he hovers around my feet to the point it's almost dangerous. I worry about stepping on him. So I have created his own little place to be. But when it's time to do the part of the blessing that involves sitting down, he races me to my chair to try to get there first.
That's wonderful.
He wants to sit in my lap. So anyway, I created a place for him on our blessing givers group side. He's our cat blessing giver.
Oh, that's great.
But there's a backstory to that, and that has to do with Gunnar Glowstar, who was my companion from the time I was living on the vineyard to the time that, Gunnar saved our life when the house was burning down. We were sound asleep. Gunnar woke us up just in time for us to bail out of a second-story bedroom window before the house exploded. Gunnar was with me every time the apparition of Yeshua would occur. And he would sit all day looking at Yeshua, all day. And after the connection, the painting was finished and the connection was gone, the painting was hanging on my living room wall. Gunnar would sit there on the coffee table looking at Yeshua all day. And I set a Bible on the coffee table because we had so many people coming over to see the portrait, and sometimes they would want to look for a quote in the Bible, so I just had one available. Well, Gunnar would sit beside it with one paw on the Bible, looking at Yeshua, and he would purr. He would purr like a motor, like an engine. It was really quite amazing, and he was with me every day that I wrote Love Without End. He was with me every day that I wrote The Keys of Yeshua. And so, I fully understand the power of their presence. Now, my belief about animals is that they are immortal souls as well. They are, in my opinion, just one step down from the angels. They are a version of immortal soul that is here on the earth, primarily, in most cases, assisting Mother Earth. Some of them, however, have taken on a covenant to assist and help us. And I fully believe that we do not adopt animals. They adopt us. They determine. There are some that I have taken into my life, and they have not. They couldn't care less about me. Not in the sense that they were indifferent or unkind to me, but I wasn't their person. And the ones that came in and adopted me, I was their person. And I have one now. He's the successor to Gunnar Glowstar. In the evening, I spend some time with my husband. We have some recreational time. At the end of the night, just before I'm ready to go to bed, this little cat comes and gets me and escorts me to bed. It's his job. He is fully committed to that job. If I go out, he either watches at the window or watches at the door until I return. So he's my guardian. My guardian animal. So I do believe that animals have their own special place in the hierarchy of care, love, and guardianship of this wonderful thing called life.
That's a lovely explanation, Glenda. Thank you so much. I feel like their work here is to help us gain that divine perspective and be just as loving and clear as they are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, some of them, I do believe, are here more for Mother, the Mother Earth.
Yeah.
They're like the earthworms are here to help her with the soil. You know, we have millions of microbial forms of life that are here to help Mother with her evolution of life.
Isn't it lovely that every single animal is here on a purpose and a particular...
Absolutely. But I do believe most animals are here for Mother and not for humans.
That's a very interesting piece, too. I think they all do serve. And really, thank you for your perspective.
You're welcome.
For everything.
Okay. Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye. And we have a caller, but I have no identifying number. It looks like out of the country.
Hi, Glenda. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Oh, gosh, I could just, you made so many points today that I could speak about, but I miss everybody, and I would say one thing is if anybody's sitting on the fence about going to the Blessing Seminar, to move their feet, because you just, I can't even put into words what it was like as far as community, and just to sit in front of your portrait of Yeshua and the profound effect that had on me. I could hardly even look that way without just bursting into tears. And if anyone finds that they can't make it for any reason, just have faith, because for years I sat in front of that portrait crying why I couldn't make it, and eventually did, and it will happen. It will happen. You will make it. And so if anyone is thinking about it, I would just say, do it.
And by the way, Linda lives in New Zealand. So if she can do it, you can do it.
Yes, that's right. And it's Monday morning, and I'm just driving to work and trying to get to the perfect time to get my shoes off and participate in the blessing. The other thing I wanted to say is Mary called a few weeks ago about her son. I think it was Ryan. So I just wanted to say that he's in my blessings every day. And I'm just so thankful to be part of the community. And Glenda, I just love what you give to us. I love your words. And I just think it's as if having Yeshua here, they just flow from you. And I understand what you say. And it's just a real blessing of thanks to everybody today. And I want to also find out when you're going to do the next blessing teaching so that I can be ready and have my budget ready and everything. Will that be after the seminar?
It will be after the seminar. I'm sure there will be one this fall, because we have a number of blessing givers coming for their second blessing seminar. The way we're moving this forward into the world is that as soon as a blessing giver has attended two seminars, they are qualified then to take the blessing teacher's course and teach the blessing. This way we get more outreach into the world. We are really working for Yeshua to get more and more of his teachers, missionaries, apostles, ministers, and blessing givers out into the world. And this is the way we're doing it. So it probably will be in October.
Okay, that's great. And look, love everybody, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for calling in. And I have a very special friend coming on the call now. Paul, you have been in my prayers continuously for the last many days, and I'm thrilled to see your name on the board. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Glenda. Well, thank you for your... I'm just so grateful, and just for your presence in my life means a lot. I'll tell you very briefly, and all the folks on the call, I've had quite a miracle happen in my life, and it didn't come about in a pleasant way. And it was that one day I just didn't feel like I had much energy, and I got in my little car and went over to a very fine hospital somewhat near here and got checked in. And in a short time, a wonderful surgeon, Dr. Ali is his name, had replaced two of my heart valves.
Oh, my.
The valve and the tricuspid valve. And he told me before, he said, This is very intricate, especially on the tricuspid. But he said you could die, but you'll die anyway if you don't have it. And I was sold on doing it no matter what, because I didn't want to live the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up, he had done a miracle because it was a perfect job. And so I have two mechanical valves, one for the mitral and one for the tricuspid, which he designed himself. And he said, you're good for 20 years.
Oh, wow. That's terrific, Paul.
And then I was there 2.5 weeks altogether because it takes quite a bit of rehab. And
yes, it does.
Staying and just being there. And so that the various nurses and they were all just wonderful, just sweet as could be and proficient. And then later on, he put a pacemaker in for me. And so I'm fixed up. And I'd been home a week, and that was 2.5 weeks in the hospital. And they let me be on my own resources. They wanted me to take a lot of meds, but somehow it didn't work out because I wasn't set up for prescriptions when my friends, the Wests, went over to the store to get my meds. You know, they couldn't do it. And so I'm here and I'm taking coenzyme Q10, which I'd done all along in the morning. And then I have three shots of a multivitamin, three big tablets. One at breakfast, one at lunch, one at dinner, feeding myself well. And my friends Terry and Orrin West, they're coming later this afternoon, have taken over my art business. They've been handling all the business, and I get 60%, they get 40%, and they are actually up in the studio, or she is, they want to make some money on it. And so I have that going. So I just wanted to share that because I'm feeling wonderful and each day I'm a little stronger and just doing this simple regimen of my own and without any meds because it just didn't work out. Not that I didn't want that, but it's much better to know that I'm actually being healed by the power of God directly.
Exactly. Exactly. And for our audience, just so they know, Paul is a blessing giver. And during Paul's surgery, there were a number of us offering a blessing for that service, for that surgery to go right, myself included, and many times after that. So, Paul, you're a living example that when we live directly in the arms of God, we don't need a lot of the artificial support that the world tries to tell us we need.
That's right. And you know, of all the things, that is the biggest miracle. I was leaning on too many visible elements, including people. You know,
yeah.
There's too many things outside myself. And I realize, and the Lord keeps telling me, I'm shook up here. In my heart, I keep hearing, and this is the most important thing. Paul, I am in you.
And you know, Paul, it's not insignificant that it's your heart that's healing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good way to close our conference today. So, Paul, receive the blessing. And may it mightily heal you. And I would say the same thing to everyone else on this call. Receive the blessings of God. Allow them to mightily heal you. Whatever it's your needs. Some of you are in just perfect health. That's not your need. Some of you are in adequate and comfortable, secure financing. That's not your need. But we all have a need somewhere. If it's only a need to grow, to learn, to brighten our heart. There are people on this earth who really accomplished virtually everything except for happiness. And we don't get happy when we are depending on too many external things. You know, that's the downside. As Paul mentioned, the downside of having too many external things to depend on. And sometimes that can even be people. When we lean this way, we lean that way, we feel that we have to depend upon this machine, that income, this relationship, belonging to this club, having this or that status. These are dependencies that rob us of our inner glow. You don't have to get rid of these things. You can have all the wonderful things of life. Enjoy your accomplishments. Enjoy your all the points that have brought esteem to your life, that have brought grace and goodness and abundance to your life. But you will have to release your dependency on them in order to find happiness. And so there are those who are having that as their challenge and wondering, why is it, no matter what I do, I'm just not happy? Some people have died in that condition. They worked really, really hard. They got everything. And then at the end of their life, life was just boring. I was reading a book of famous last words last night, and I was amazed at how many people in their dying words was something to the effect of, I'm just so bored, let it be over. I'm just so bored, let it be over. And these were people, accomplished people. And I can't imagine ever feeling that way about life. But I know how they got in that condition. When we depend on too many things outside ourselves, and I'm talking about dependencies. I'm not referring to enjoyment. We can enjoy everything. But when we depend on them, it robs us of our inner glow, our light, and our happiness. So this is an opportunity for all of us, from those who need fixing in some way to those who need releasing in many ways. It's an opportunity to let the light of God amplify and ignite the light within. To let Yeshua within your heart increase the strength, the bounty, the compassion, and the radiance of your heart. To let the Holy Spirit pass through without resistance, connecting you to heaven and earth. And this is what we do in the blessing. So now, everyone, please be seated, feet on the ground, feet uncovered, hopefully, unless there's some reason not to. But even then, try to avoid synthetic substances. Those who need to cover their head, let it be covered with cotton or silk or wool or something non-synthetic. Otherwise, have your head uncovered. And just relax. Uncross your legs, uncross your arms. Allow your head to drop comfortably. And your attention to fall into your heart. In just a moment, you will start your own prayer. However you pray, whatever means of prayer is meaningful to you. Remember, prayer is really just the establishment of your connection with God in this moment in time and space. To give praise, gratitude, and ask for blessings. It's your communion with God. And so however that feels appropriate to you, let it be. We have people from all religions who receive these blessings. We do not put limitations of doctrine or denomination or religious dogma on these blessings. For who are we to say, how great is God? How inclusive is God? And everyone is welcome to the blessings of Christ. I will open with my benediction, and then as soon as I finish, you begin your prayer. The blessing givers and I will offer the blessing the energetic portion of the blessing for 3 minutes. Then you rest and digest your meal, assimilate it into every part of your body, heart, and being. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, the one who taught us that love is who we are, that is so much more undefined and limited than any action could ever be, for all actions fall short. The radiance of our being, steeped in the presence of God, is far greater because it instructs us moment to moment how to love, moment to moment, where and to whom and in what way to love. We ask that you teach us to love by being with us and showing us your way of loving. We thank you in advance for all the gifts you will give us that have already been given, but we have not yet seen them. We ask you to guide us in the discovery of the blessings of God, that we may find them and apply them to the betterment of our life and express our gratitude upon discovery and realization of them. Thank you for being with us in all of our moments of joy, doubt, sickness, health, youth, and old age, wherever we are in the lifespan. Thank you for filling us with the glory of your being and reminding us that we were and are always children of God. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. Just don't think during this time. It takes 7 minutes to rest and just be in quiet neutrality where you can absorb all the blessings that have been given. You are very loved. You have been very blessed. Be with God, and I hope you'll come back and be with me next week. Bye-bye for now.